Welcome back to Bonded by Bravo. I am Amy, joined by my co-host Jenna, and we are so excited to be here. We just listened to the Bethany Rachel Raquel interview podcast, and me and Jenna record this on Wednesday mornings, and Jenna is a 3-hour time difference, and her first texts waking up this morning were for me saying, you have to listen to this before we record. You have to listen to this before we record.
Yeah. Eyes were not even open yet.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think we're going to just jump right in because there's so many things I want to say. Do you want to start?
Yeah.
I guess let's just preface.
Okay.
Raquel, aka she now prefers to go by Rachel, from what she said in the interview, did her first sit-down interview post Scandoval with Bethany Frankel on her podcast, and she said that the reason she chose Bethany was because Bethany, when talking about Scandoval, had a different opinion than most, saying that people are being exploited by Bravo without any compensation for their name and their brand being exploited over and over and over again in the media. And those people who are being painted as villains and being painted as the bad guys or even the good guys in these scandals, I can't even say scandal anymore, in these scandals are being not profiting from this the same way the people who aren't, like, for instance, how Ariana made a butt ton of money on all of the sponsorship ads that she got. Raquel hasn't seen a dime because her name has been tainted, you know, in so many ways for, you know, who knows how many years to come.
Yeah, first, I guess I should say, I thought it was a good conversation. I did.
So did I.
Yeah.
It really was a.
There's so many things.
I know.
The thing about the not, like, getting your name, I don't know how Bravo or reality TV in general plans to sort of, like, they are going to have to come to some sort of, like, Jesus moment on how do we rectify this, like, maybe not in this specific circumstance, but when you're dragging names through the mud like that and, like, they become your storyline and they are driving all of these numbers to your network and not seeing a dime, like the fact that her parents are really footing the bill for this expensive rehab, like, I mean, I think that should be Bravo's responsibility.
And if this, God, I have so many thoughts. I imagine what happened in season 2 or 3 with Taylor's husband, who killed himself because of information that was going to come out about him. And Bravo played on that storyline. And imagine something so terrible came from this situation, which nowadays with social media, it's not unheard of. That it's not unlikely that because of this much internet hate, and let me be clear, I was part of that. Like, we went on there and, you know, we came on here and we're talking a lot about this, about Scandoval, and, you know, that really made us even start the podcast. And today, that conversation that was had, it really made, like you said, it was a really good conversation, and it made me take a step back and kind of look at things differently. I have to be honest.
Yeah, same. I feel for her quite a bit.
Same.
Yeah. I mean, I think the other thing to note here is, like, it's not like she was taking responsibility. I thought so too. I was like, she's definitely taking accountability. Like, 90 days of treatment is a long time, and to go into a place where everyone kind of already, I mean, I know she said the phones get taken away, so I don't know how much, like, the people, her peers in there know, but, like, that's an intimidating experience. Like,
I mean, at the very least, someone was submitting to the blogs where she was. So whether or not someone knew.
Yeah.
There were so many things. I have so many thoughts. I think the one thing, and I think we said this before, but after we saw her final interview where we said that we had empathy for her in this situation, you look back and she's 28 years old. I am 40 years old, and looking back at the dumb things I did probably from 21 to, I'm going to say 33. If I was held accountable for all of those things on a public platform, she talked about shame. I can't imagine what that's like when you're making these decisions as a young person and you're in the public spotlight. She talked about, I wrote it down. She talked about how in her therapy, she said that her and Tom, she doesn't believe that Tom was in love with her, and she doesn't believe that she was in love with him. She said that she learned in treatment that there's a difference, that she's a love addict. Mm-hmm. And that there's a difference between intensity with love addicts. And the word love bombing is thrown around so much now. And, you know, I was in a situation where love bomb, like I was in a bad place and somebody showed me attention at the right time. And it was the most awful, whatever, situationship I was ever in for me mentally. But because I was so desperate for something at that moment, I was making bad decision after bad decision. And, you know, I was in my 30s then. So, like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think, too, the other thing is, like, okay, so she started this.
Yeah.
She was just saying, so she, her first relationship, real relationship, she had discussed a messy one sort of, like, in college. So, like, that doesn't give you security at all. Like, the first person you said I love you to has not even committed to you at this point.
Right.
Because he said he was, like, pretty much, like, just non-committed, but it was a long-term relationship, which, like, she's not alone in that. I'm sure plenty of women out there have been, and men have been, in that sort of situation, and it doesn't feel good. And then she meets James at 21. She's sort of in 21. This party phase. 21 years old, and then ends up on a reality show.
Right.
So it's like those formative years where, like, you're kind of messing up and figuring it out is, like, all being documented. And not only that, your performance and pay is based off, or your pay, I think is what she said, is based off how you perform. And so if you're not bringing it, and I think Bethany said it best,
yeah,
if you're not killing or being killed, you're somewhere in the middle, and that means you're up to get fired.
That Bethany talking about the reality dynamics, mm-hmm. the friendships, the behind the scenes, the what you have to put your relationship through, really, not that I didn't think it, but it's really becoming real. I told you I went to that Real Housewives of New Jersey baseball game, softball game last year, the Brooklyn Cyclones. And just being there for the few hours and watching the producers create these conversations and hold up phones that have the topics that they want people to talk about, it really changed my opinion on how these reality TV shows work. I was down the shore this past weekend, and, you know, we were down by Seaside Heights. So we walked by the Jersey Shore house. And I said to my friends, I was like, back then, reality TV, like, it was just happening. They weren't scripting the old school Jersey Shore. It was just happening. And now Bethany talked about how friendships are forced, how relationships are forced. One of the biggest bombshells that I think that came out of that today was Raquel explaining her relationship with Ariana, how they have never filmed, or they have never hung out as friends separately outside of filming. And, like, as friends, like, as you would hang out with your girlfriend and go to lunch, they've never hung out separately, just themselves outside of filming. Now, I'm not saying that that gives her reason to go have sex with her boyfriend. However, there were a lot of, I think, like, drops of, like, gems that were dropped today, in a sense of us getting a bigger picture of kind of how things were. Again, not saying that, I do feel like she took accountability.
Yeah. I think, let's call her, I feel like out of respect, maybe just
Rachel.
Call her Rachel, right?
As she did say in the beginning of the interview that she learned in therapy that she wants to go by Rachel because Raquel was a name she gave to herself, and she learned through therapy that it's kind of been a persona for her for her whole life, and she wants to go back to her roots because of the base of who she is. It's Rachel.
Yeah, I think let's ride with Rachel.
For sure.
Yeah, I think that was super interesting. I appreciate that she, you know, again, we said it a couple times, like, she definitely did take accountability. I would say, like, really the only thing I didn't love that she said the whole time was, like, I do still think Ariana had a right to be, like, heated at the reunion. Same.
That's like, what I was, yep.
I don't think that was unwarranted. I think we have to think about when the reunion happened.
Right. It was so new. When
it was so fresh. And there was no communication because she had already gone away.
So just to be clear, on the podcast, Raquel says that she thinks that Ariana's reactions and words to her at the reunion were unwarranted. Yeah. She said, I believe she said the word unwarranted.
Yeah, it was something like that. And I don't think that that's true.
I agree. I agree with you there. I think, sorry.
I think your things can be true. I think
exactly.
You can feel for Rachel in this scenario and see that, like, she's taking accountability for her mistakes, but also that the other person involved gets to be pissed.
Absolutely. And I think all of this exactly
is Tom Sandoval. Like,
and you know what?
God, I don't want to talk to
you. No, because agreed. And you know what I saw when I woke up this morning before I saw this interview? I saw a video posted on Bravo and Cocktails of Ariana, the whole group walking into Sir, and Ariana walks in, Tom Sandoval, Tom Schwartz walk behind her. And I'm like, if she is going to forgive this man, because that's where the loyalty comes from that man. If that whole cast is going to forgive Tom Sandoval, then they should forgive the 28-year-old girl. In reality, Tom Sandoval is the master manipulator. The thing that she said on this is the reason that they never came clean earlier was because they could never agree on the timeline. Because Sandoval wanted to say it wasn't as long as it actually was. And Raquel put it all out there and said it was 7 months. It was seven months of this.
Yeah, he really is like the true monster in all of this. And to go kind of off what you're saying about, like, they should, it, like, you know, forgive Raquel. It's not that I don't agree with that. I kind of think that Raquel should walk away from, like, she shouldn't even need their forgiveness at this point, because to me, like, let's say, like, I'm Raquel in this situation. I'm watching all this shit unfold and you guys are doing this and you guys just made a fuck ton of money off of my name. Fuck you guys. Like, I'm out. Like, I don't need your forgiveness. I don't need your friendship. Like, I'm good. Like, I am good.
I don't know about you, but I kind of got the vibe that she's past it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know that she's in search of their forgiveness anyway. So, yeah.
And when Bethany said, are you good with you? And she said, I finally have come to forgive myself for my actions. And I mean, I'm going to say that's more than what the work that Tom Sandoval's done.
To go done in, any work.
Right. And to go into this for 3 months, to go into treatment for 3 months and, like, actually do work on yourself. That's probably more than most of them.
There's not one person in this group that has done that kind of work.
Yeah. And sorry, I'm so hype about this, but there were things that she said about Sheena that were really interesting to me. Sheena is the first person to put the best friend label on anything. As, like, a grown-ass woman, she loves calling people her best friend, and everyone's her best friend.
And we've discussed this on this podcast before, how, like, she does throw that label around a little bit willy-nilly. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, I just met you. You're my best friend. That guy, Adam, she was hooking up with. I'm just hooking up with my best friend. Like,
no, everyone.
You can't truly have that many best friends. I could say I probably have, like, three best friends. And, like, it takes work.
And also, as grown-ups, like, are we still tagging people as our best friend? Totally. Like, are we still doing that? Are we still saying like, oh, you're my bestie? You know, it's so. And so Raquel gets into it saying Ariana was not one of my best friends. However, yes, we were friends. She did support me during filming. She did stick up for me. She did have my back. And she said, however, I would consider Sheena one of my best friends. But she also said how Sheena made it out that she was staying at her house for free, that she wasn't contributing. And I thought Raquel brought some good points about like she was paying rent for Sheena, mm-hmm. or to Sheena. She was watching her cat. She was on the podcast, and Sheena ended up telling her, you know, this is the best podcast listening whatever that I had, like the most listened to podcast that I have after you broke up with James. So Bethany said, so like it was a like give or take. And what it made me realize from Bethany's side of things when she's talking about it is these partnerships and brands that you create in these reality TV shows. Raquel goes on to say how Tom Sandoval painted the relationship between Ariana as more of like a business partnership. Not that they were in business together, but that together Tom and Ariana were a brand of Vanderpump. And that's what these shows is creating. They're creating people as brands, and the people are benefiting off of it, and also the networks are benefiting off of it. And I don't know why it was such a light bulb moment for me.
Well, and the thing to remember too is so Bethany, I'm pretty sure, was the first one to write in her contract. I don't know if it was like she was going to take less money like up front, but that Bravo had no rights to her brand. So like Bravo takes a cut of like, let's say like, I don't know, like the cocktail book that Ariana does or the cocktail thing that Bravo, because they have a platform, like it's like marketing basically. Wow. That Bravo takes some of that money. And same with all the booths at BravoCon. Like Bravo's obviously getting a cut of that. That's why Bethany has been like on this rant, like don't set up your merch kind of situation. But Bethany, you can probably quote me on this because I'm pretty sure in her first, I don't know if it was her first year, but when she signed with Bravo, she was like, give me less money, but you can't touch the income I make off of my products. So it was like skinny girl at the time. And so she's had that sort of business sense from the get.
And I think, I mean, this could be wrong, but she was probably one of the first housewives to put out a product.
Yes. I think she probably was. I think that's
so she paved the way.
100%. I'm sure that's part of the reason she even went on the show to begin with.
Right. And she's been a business person from the get. Like a lot of these younger folks, you know, not to say that they didn't have business mentality, but you know, you're learning in this
this is kind of off of the brand deals, but how about Raquel telling Tom, like, here's the key to my apartment. You can stay there. And Sandoval, for anyone who hasn't listened, basically, while she was away, she told Tom, like, so you don't have to keep living with Ariana in that house. Here's the key to my apartment. Go stay there for free. You have a place to live. And Tom Sandoval chooses, no, I'm going to stay in my home and do, like, why? So what do you think is, like, what
that was what was confirmed there today was that they still live in the same house together. That's almost six. This happened in March. So it's almost 6 months later. I don't understand. Yeah. She did say that Tom had a lot of his money wrapped up in Schwartz and Sandy's. And I'm just wondering if Tom's money's wrapped up, but like, Ariana's made so much money these last 6 months. I don't get the still living together. I don't. But again, I'm not in the situation to understand that. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I mean, I'm sure she wants to be protective and smart with her money at this point, and I don't know what that kind of like – does paying a mortgage and rent just burn through? Because I'm sure Ariana also is aware that this is a moment.
Right.
right? Yeah, like this
it's already fading, you know?
Yeah. Like what's the longevity of this? I know that she's she even said, I think in an interview, she's going to take the brand deals right now. Like
absolutely.
Let's keep them coming. Let's keep the money coming in, but paying a mortgage and rent in California, I mean, you're out $10,000 a month.
Yeah. Oh my God. I don't know how they're going to do it. I mean, there's going to have to be lawyers involved, really.
For 100%. I think that they're going to have to do sort of what like the NCAA did, where for the longest time, like let's say the Penn State quarterback, for example, was like they were using his name and selling jerseys or whatever. That player was not getting any money for the longest time up until about 2 years ago. Now he can profit from that money. Like he gets some of that money. It's his name on that jersey. And so I think it's going to have to be something similar to that situation. Like if you're using my name, if my name is using a storyline, if it's in maybe this many headlines, I get paid out a percentage of what you guys are getting from my name.
It was, yeah.
You know what that does make me really wonder? And it could be unrelated, but I just doubt that it is. Like, what is this like? I know everything seems, you know, fine right now, but like, what was the situation at Sir that night with Ariana? Like, when they were all like kind of arguing. And I know that they're coming out and say, like, you guys are just looking at photos and videos. You don't really know what's going on. But like, how the fuck did they get there with Tom Sandoval?
Like, what do you mean?
Like, how did they get to a place where they're hugging on the beach and laughing with each other? Like, I just...
Oh, you mean now what we're seeing?
Yeah, I just... And like, I don't know. I just... It definitely does make me curious to see how they get to this place, but also ready to be done with them, to be kind of honest.
I agree. To see, I'm telling you, to see that video this morning when I woke up of them all walking in, but Ariana was in that close proximity to Tom Sandoval. And I know I don't understand the circumstances, and I know that I'm just judging off of this video. I'm not saying that she's not hurt. I'm not saying that, you know, her life hasn't been turned upside down. I'm not saying any of that. And also, like, forgiveness is good for a person, you know, totally. For any person to hold on to hate or, you know, any of that, you know, I don't think that's healthy or good either. It just feels, yeah, I was going to say hypocritical, but at the same time, from everything I've said about Rachel a few months ago when we started this until now and listening her point of view today, my opinion's changed. I wouldn't say my opinion has changed about Tom Sandoval, but I feel like a lot of my opinion from Rachel has changed today. Yeah.
How do you think, I know it's their job, but like, I couldn't help but think, like, how do the producers like do this like emotionally for them, like for themselves? Like, how do they
morals.
Sort of
like for their morals?
Yeah. Like I just, you know, they have a job to do. They have bills to pay, but like, you're really fucking around with people's lives. And like watching this whole thing unfold with Raquel, I'm sure had to make at least one or two of them sit back and be like, whoa, did we like, are we part of the problem? And to give not only that, but to continue to give Sandoval a platform and make money is a little disgusting. Like, I know
it's not like it
call. Like, that's, you know, that's beyond the produce. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm trying to say. I just,
no,
like,
I think what you're saying is like, where are their morals when they're like actively being a part of someone's demise? And you're creating basically a movie with a bad guy and a good guy, but you're masterminding it. In a way, and it feels
they're not characters,
right? They're real, you know, actual people.
They're actual people.
I'm telling you, when I, like I said, and I know that we talked about this at length, but when I went to that Real Housewives of New Jersey event last summer and saw what the producers were doing, I mean, they orchestrated a hug. They orchestrated, yeah.
Not everyone, we didn't have this podcast then. So if you just want to give a quick.
So I went to the Cyclones event that Dolores holds every year. It's the charity baseball game where they play Maimonides Hospital for research and blah, 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 and all that good stuff. So I went to, it was in Brooklyn and Coney Island, and me and my husband went just to kind of see what was going on. And there were cameras, and, you know, they had three different camera people set up, and behind every camera was the producer. And the producer, I saw this one producer specifically, had their phone. And I know this is an app that you can get. I've realized it since because I've seen all the cool kids using it. But it's an app you can get on your phone where you like type things in and then you show it to someone. And it's like a black screen with the white letters. Like I've seen people do it at concerts to tell like their people like, hey, look at me, or hey, play this song to DJs. And on that, on the phone, she was telling them, like she was putting in prompts of like what conversations to have. She would pull Margaret and bring Melissa over and like have them be like, okay, have this conversation now. Mm-hmm. And then she orchestrated Dolores and someone else to have a conversation. And then she said, okay, go back. She did a hug move, like a hug motion, like hug that person and then walk away. I think it was Dolores and Margaret or... No, it was one of the new girls. She basically said, like, go over to this person, hug them, and then move on. Like, then go about your way. And me and my husband were just staring at this like, oh, my God, she's orchestrating a hug. And as soon as these two women were finished hugging, they both just, like, walked in separate directions and didn't speak to each other for the rest of the night. And you're watching the – I was going to say the actors. That's not even what they're called. You're watching the women, like as soon as the camera's on them, you could see their everything change.
Yeah.
It was really interesting.
It's just like an insight into like how produced these shows exactly are. Like, and it's not like we didn't know that, right? But it just, every time we hear like these revelations on like what Bethany's saying, it does sort of like, you're like, damn, like I know it, but like, wow. Like they're real people in situations that just normally kind of wouldn't happen. And then they're forced to respond to those already abnormal, like, or, I don't know. It's just really wild.
It's made me, like, when you're watching the rest of the show, since I saw that happen, I mean, she even, this producer even went so far to, like, do her finger and, like, be like, yeah, now get mad at them here. Mm. And was doing like the like, aren't you mad about this?
Got it.
The person's looking at them off camera and then is like, yeah, actually, you know what? I am mad about this. It's made me look at everybody's friendships and what they're talking about. Like when I'm watching OC or whatever I'm watching, you can tell who might actually be friends and who is just showing up to play. Like Tamra, perfect housewife. She's coming up. She's playing her character. She knows what she's doing. But it all, like to me, we're talking about the producer's morals, but even more so as a person who's going to participate in this.
Yeah.
And you're being told, bring the storylines, bring the drama, throw these people under the bus because that's going to get you the best storyline. That's going to get you paid. Mm-hmm. And you're that type of person. What does that say about these people who are participating in this? Because really, when it comes down to that, you're playing along. You're letting them play along.
Yeah. What did you know? I think she even said, like, some of them are real friendships, but really it's an alliance. Like,
and you
use
exactly
that word alliance. And I was like, oh, that's interesting.
And I don't know why that was such a ding, ding, ding for me.
I know.
Oh, yeah, this is all just like, we're going to go into this together. We might be friends. Like on OC this year, Heather is really, you know, digging in about how Gina isn't calling her when they're not filming. And I'm like, yeah, that's because you guys aren't friends when you're not filming. You're doing this for the show. You're seeing through the cracks, I think. Like the curtains being pulled down and you're kind of seeing into what's really going on. And I think with...
You wonder if it's going to get pulled back too far. Like what does that mean for the future of these shows?
Don't you... I mean, I guess because of my experience, I kind of feel like I've seen it.
Yeah, but not...
I wonder what the other people at that baseball game thought, if they cared that much as I did. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I Yeah, I don't know.
It's, I think what's happening with Bethany in this lawsuit, and there were rumors that Raquel's going to join her in this lawsuit, and it's ironic that she's on the podcast. This is going to play out, and this might change things.
I think it's especially the way it's coinciding with the writers and actors strike. I think that there's probably just like a bigger reckoning in Hollywood. Like these studios are eating up all of the money, and the people that are producing are getting chump change. Like,
yeah,
what I think Bethany said, she like learned that her salary was less than her interns.
Yeah.
That Raquel's salary is less than Bethany's interns. And Raquel was even like taking a little bit. I am curious, like what are they making?
I think it depends on who, but I think if you're on there longer, you get paid per episode. Like, so I think there were like people that might get 10,000 per episode. You figure it's 12. Raquel? I mean, if she got paid $10,000, I don't think, $10,000 per episode. They're making what, 12 to 16 episodes? Yeah. That's 160K. Is that more than Bethany? I mean, that's saying if they made 10,000 an episode, but I bet you the like people that have been in it longer make more than that.
Yeah. Well,
it's really, yeah, that
I
was,
feel, I'm glad I'm like, I was very, I don't know. You go and you see Raquel in a headline after this many months talking to someone, and I'm like kind of ashamed to say, but Bethany's been sort of like, it's not that I don't appreciate what Bethany is like trying to convey here and what she's trying to do. She sort of just annoys me already. And then
and you're not the only one. Like it's, she's not like, obviously she's can crawl under people's skin.
Yeah. And so then to wake up and see those two names together, I don't, this was like coming out of it. I don't know that that's what I predicted to feel. Like I walked away with feeling like just having like kind of a lot of compassion, and also like kind of feeling like, yeah, Bravo, you guys do kind of probably have to wake up, and you definitely owe her some money. And why the fuck is Tom Sandoval still getting an outlet?
I left feeling all of the same things, and even some, I think I really went in Raquel in the first few episodes that we talked about. And I think after seeing that 5 minutes of her in the confessional, my opinion changed. And I looked at her as a young girl who made a really, really, really bad decision. And I know that we've all been there. I mean, I can speak for myself. I know that we've all been there, and it's,
we've been there. We can say that we've been there and feel for that without having cameras and producers and money dangled in our face on top of, like, we're making a show and the relationships that I have are, and I think I had even said, like, how close were her and Ariana? Like, I know they were, I think I said that they were definitely party friends doing the festival circuit, but do I think that they were, the two of them were sitting on the couch, you know, binge watching a TV show, eating ice cream? No, I don't think that. I've never thought that. And I still think Ariana's response was appropriate. Like,
Absolutely.
I don't want to sound like I'm just like a blindly defending Ariana. I do think that she, her life was like turned upside down. Like, even
absolutely.
If a, yeah. And like, even if the relationship wasn't healthy or whatever, her life still got turned upside down. Like,
yeah, and
her housing, her family, like her friends, the life she thought she was living, the splitting up stuff, the businesses, like, it's just a lot to sort of unravel.
I agree, and I think that yes, to your point, Ariana's life has been turned upside down. So has Raquel, and so has Tom Sandoval's. And I'm not vouching for Tom Sandoval. What?
Like, has his life really been turned upside down?
It's true. I mean, has it what? Because he's the most hated man in America. He loves it.
He loves it.
It's true.
That, like, he continues just to live in that house when he had another option, a free option. But on top of that, said that, you know, this has just been a partnership, and we've been living together like this for so long. Like, what in his life really has changed?
And That's what I feel like these two women, this is what always happens.
Yeah.
Like the women are pitted against each other, and not to say that they shouldn't be. Like, obviously, regardless if they were best friends or not friends or whatever type of friends that they were, what happened was awful. Yeah. What Raquel did was so awful, and she's taking accountability for it.
Yeah.
Seems like Ariana's moving on. I think in the long run, Ariana's going to be like, thank you, yes, sweet baby Jesus, you. That happened to me, because this has really changed my life for the better. I got out of a shitty situation. I mean, that relationship with Tom Sandoval had to be toxic in some way, because
I think that she also has talked about her mental health and being depressed. Like, when you're depressed, like, you're not gonna make a big move like that in your life. You're gonna sit in it and you're gonna think that this guy who claims to love you really does love you, and everyone else seems to love him, so I should love him, and I'm gonna ride this out. Like, I think she was just gonna ride it out.
And that's one thing. I thought it was really interesting that Raquel said, honesty is one of my core values that I'm taking back.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting, because I think you could see in the last confessional that it was eating her up inside that she wasn't being honest. And the reason I'm saying that is because I think Ariana's, from what I've seen, is her being loyal. Ariana seems like a loyal ride or die gal to the people in her life. And so her being loyal to Tom, I think, you know, I think she should, I mean, not that I know what she's doing for herself, but it made me look at the situation differently. I think it's good that we're looking at the situation differently in a lot of ways, from the Bravo side of things, from what happens in the press, from how media gets so carried away. I mean, we were a part of it. You know, I'm not going to say that we weren't. I know that I said shitty things about Raquel, and I want to take them back. I do.
Yeah.
I really do. Same. Rachel.
And I think we're allowed that grace, right? Like, we bought into the narrative that was sold to us.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What Bravo wanted us to do.
Is it Bravo, or is it also?
And the media. This is
exactly.
Storm.
Exactly. The PR storm that just gets. Yeah.
Yeah.
So all right. Well, if you haven't listened, listen, there's going to be a part two coming, from what I've seen. They're going to talk about the reunion. I think there's going to be some sort of camaraderie in them holding Bravo accountable. I'm also going to say, I think Raquel is going to be finished with Vanderpump, because if she goes and says anything against Bravo, she's going to be cut.
I think she should leave Bravo. Like, it's clearly not
better for her.
Yeah. It's just the right move. Like, I don't know what that means for her next, but I just don't know if she's for reality TV. Like, I could say I'm not for, like, I couldn't handle the vitriol online and the attention and the media storm and the comments. Like, not everyone is cut out for that.
The comments alone. Oh, I mean, honestly, if you have one insecurity and it's being pointed out, what that could do to your mental health, realistically, if one person said something about my face, my body, my personality, like any of those things that they're cutting down, not to mention she went through this for three full months of them just breaking down everything about your character because of one decision you made. I wouldn't survive that. Seriously, like what that would do to my mental health. I don't know if I could take it.
Not only just the comments and stuff, but you have your castmates on every goddamn podcast. I mean, and I was listening to them all, so I was certainly part of the problem. But I mean, the podcast, I felt like every day was a new podcast interview. Like one podcast I had never heard of before. It was just like, they were coming out of the woodwork. I was like, oh my God.
Howie Mandel. Howie Mandel. Are we ever listening to Howie Mandel again? No.
No.
And we listened.
Yeah. I don't know. Just wild. But
how do we segue from this? What else? Like, how do we even segue from this?
I think we just do. How was your weekend?
How was my weekend? Well.
Yeah, we'll just do a quick catch up before we get into a few other things.
Yeah, my weekend was so good. It started off rocky just because I had to do a move. We moved my brother into his new house, and you know, moving is never pleasant for anyone. So that sucked. But then one of my friends had a shore house down in Jersey, And so she invited us back in January to spend a few days there. So we spent a few days. We actually tried out a new beach, Lavalette, New Jersey. It's more north. It's not our southern beaches that we know. It's much more north, but it was so great. She has a daughter who's about to be two. And so we spent a few days there. And then it's my other friend's 40th birthday. Actually, today's her birthday. Happy 40th, JL. She'll never listen to this, but okay. Happy 40th to her. And so we celebrated her birthday on Monday. She has three kids and my other friend has her daughter. So there were four kids and I got to play Aunt Amy, and I'm such a sucker. They all call me Aunt Amy. And I'm such a loser. The second any of my friend's kids call me Aunt Amy, I'm like, I'll do whatever you want. Her oldest daughter was like, will you come play in the ocean with me? I was like, sure. Just call me Aunt Amy again. Oh, you know, God. I'm such a loser. And then her son was bringing me seat, and they're just so cute. And we got my other friend's daughter, who's just two, to scream my husband's name finally. Like, she doesn't say a lot of words yet, but we got her to say Miki. And she was just yelling at him. But it was really good. It was just like, I feel like this whole summer I have been recovering from surgery and doing doctor's appointments, and I haven't had any time to really just chill. And it finally felt like the last few weeks I've been able to kind of just lean into summer a little bit now that it's ending. So it was good. How about you?
It was good. We went out like an hour or so east of here to my friend's parents' house, and they're like on the Delta. So we just got to like hang by the water all weekend. Just like a body of water.
Is it a river, a lake?
It's a Delta. Like, that's what it's called. It's like, don't ask me to explain this.
A Delta's a body of water? Mm-hmm. So like Delta, oh my God. Okay.
And I think it like goes into, it like might, I think it like maybe hits a river and then goes into the ocean. I don't know. But
definitely Googling that later.
Yeah, but it was really nice. We did this once last year too. I didn't eat it, but Rudy got an ostrich egg down in.
Oh like, my God, I saw that. Ugh.
Literally had to use power tools. As he's like doing it, it's like the smell. It was so bad, and ew, then eventually, like flashed back on Eden, and she screamed, and it was just like, it was so gross. He ended up being too hung. He like put it like did like scrambled eggs. He was too hungover to eat it, but Kyle had it. And
wait, what did it smell like?
Gross,
like raw egg. Ew.
No, like it. I don't like. This is such a. Like, no one really, I guess maybe if you have dogs, but like there's this like, it's like a Dremel, is what it's called, to like take their nails down.
It
smelled like when we do Raleigh's nail. Yeah.
Oh my God. To
it
me,
was so big, and it was so heavy. Like, it was really heavy. You paid $50 for that one egg. Isn't that crazy?
And you didn't eat it?
No.
No, I would never eat it.
No, I'll stick with my bagel.
Yeah, I've gotten an inversion to eating eggs.
We were trying to get – I was like, I need a base for Italy. So it was nice to be in the sun all weekend.
Oh, a base tan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Coming.
It is. It's less than a month?
Yeah, we leave on the 1st.
Are you bringing – not that we need to discuss this on here, but you're bringing – what do we – how do we do this when you're in Italy?
We're going
to
figure it out. It's only
we'll figure it out.
5-hour time difference.
Six.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll have to chat.
It's fine. We'll figure it out.
Okay. Well, that's
because you're going to be 6 hours ahead of me instead of 6 hours behind me.
Behind. Yeah.
So it's actually, it's not that bad.
All right.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Ostrich eggs. You know, I was writing down whenever I do our descriptions for our podcast, I always struggle to remember what we talked about. So I was like, that's definitely one to get to get some marketing in there. Ostrich eggs. Deltas.
Well, let's get into a little pop culture. Pretty slow week, but there were just a few, like, so I went on, usually when I'm doing these outlines, like real quick, I'll just like go on to Page Six and E! News or whatever. And like, I can't believe how much attention I once paid to like E! Because their headlines are such fucking trash. Like, they're not really, it's like, they need to have like a real source for everything. So they only can do so much, you know, but like one of the headlines articles was like, Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston's wedding details revealed 23 years later. And I was like, who cares?
Leave it's because alone. Michael Rapaport talked about it on Watch What Happened. Wow.
Wait, so listen. So I did that part before watching any of my shows last night. And actually, it was funny. Kyle was like, want to watch a show? I was like, nah, I got work to do. I got 3 hours of TV to watch. Because I had to do Roni and both Below Decks. And then I did. So then eventually towards the end of the night, I'm watching Watch What Happens Live, and Michael Rapaport's on, and he starts talking about it. I was like, God damn, all roads lead to Bravo. Like, here we are. I'm, like, so annoyed by this fucking headline. Like, let these people live on their own.
It's clickbait when they talk about it.
Clickbait, and I didn't click it, but I just laughed at the headline. I was like, who was clicking on this and giving that many fucks?
Well, that's the thing, too. I thought it was funny how Andy's like, you've been on 87 episodes of Watch What Happens Live, and you never told me. Like, this is what we want to hear, Michael Rapaport, not all of the other craziness that spews out of your mouth. Yeah. Yeah, that's actually so true in a way. Like, when they, it's so funny. They're definitely not my source anymore for any pop culture news. I'm Bravo and Cocktails. I'm Dumois. Yeah. Like, that's where you're getting your up-to-date info.
Yeah, you should, if you have some time, like, go on to just the E! News, like, homepage. And there is not one thing that you would want to click on. Not one. Literally not one. Kendall Jenner's style over the years. I don't give a fuck. I have seen it.
Shocked. Like,
whatever. But
did you see Kendall Jenner and Bad Bunny at Drake's concert?
They were having a good old time.
What do you think of that as a couple?
I think that it's fun for now. I don't think it has any longevity.
Yeah, I agree. But I don't know why him talking to her in her ear, like, I don't know why it's like skeeving me out. Every video I see of them, he seems so much more into it than she is. I don't know. I get that vibe.
I don't know what that, like, I feel like, not that, I mean, I know she's a stunning supermodel, but I just feel like he's also like the moment and she's into it. And I don't know. I think he's, not too much as too much. No, I don't know. I just don't. I think that this is for now, and you know, this will fade. And I don't even know that they'll ever put a label on it. I think it's just
like for fun.
Yeah, let's fuck around and find out.
So, did you watch Roni this week?
Yeah, but before we get into that, before we do that, I just wanted to chat briefly about Armchair Expert.
Oh, okay.
So last week we had mentioned that with the strike, like, we had, you know, some concerns about like what was going to happen. And so then this week, well, also I noticed, did you see that they went back off of Spotify, just Spotify?
They went back on to everything.
Well, to everything. I wonder what sort of happened into whatever. Okay. I wonder what happened there. But anyway, I just wanted to mention, like, okay, Kristen Bell, they came on, they basically addressed it right away. They didn't talk about anything project related that she's ever done. It was sort of them just chatting.
But, and you know, I why?
Because they can't. But like, and I am hoping with all their famous friends, like, that's fun. Like,
I loved that. And I loved, like, I was even going to steal some of their questions from their couples chat. It's true, though. Like, if they come in and just talk about their friendship, one of my favorite episodes was when Bradley Cooper came on and him and Dax talked about their friendship and how they kind of came up together. Cause I had no clue. I thought that was, I love that. That's such a good idea.
I think, let's just have your friends on. Let's shoot the shit and talk about life and Hollywood and whatever the fuck.
I would love that.
I just wanted to say that.
Because they're probably, I've been thinking about that too. Like, how much longer are they going to be able to go on with the strike? Because they're running out of guests. They got to be. Yeah, they got to be. Because they're not allowed to promote a thing. They're not allowed to say any projects they're working on. So it's true. They're probably, I wonder, maybe we'll have an episode with Best Friend Aaron Weekly.
Oh my God, would love that.
Okay. I would love that.
So, just wanted to kind of touch on that for it, because I know some of the people that listen probably listen to Armchair Expert.
My one friend for my 40th birthday got me a cameo of Aaron Weekly.
No.
Yeah. How did I never send that? It is the funniest thing. She made them redo it because his first cat, he was just babbling on. So I have two videos of best friend Aaron Weekly, because the first one, he's just driving along the road and just saying these like random things. And she's like, I'm paying for this. So she goes back and tells Cameo like, hey, I wasn't satisfied with my first one.
Oh my God,
like,
amazing.
They weren't talking about anything. I'll have to share it with you.
Okay.
Anywho. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I want to talk about Roni. And I also have a question about Roni, because I was doing a little tiny outline as well. Not actually, but you know how I like to throw my little nuggets in.
Did you listen to this Not Skinny But Not Fat podcast?
I did not.
It was pretty good. I definitely do like Aaron, but I'll tell you what, and never mind, I don't even want to say it, but
no, say it, you have to say it.
Like, no, because like I love what she's doing. I don't want to like comment on her voice. Like, that feels mean to just like comment on someone's like voice, because I'm sure
this week's episode, I started to like her a lot more. That conversation she had with Jessel lives in Chelsea and Aaron lives in Tribeca, and I don't even know what to compare this to, but Jessel saying that Tribeca is up and coming is like saying Rittenhouse is up and coming.
Oh my God.
Like, for any Philadelphians, you know, that's our audience right now. Like, that's what she's saying. When I went out to rent, yeah, I'd love to rent in Tribeca. When I put my budget into Tribeca, there wasn't a single apartment, not even a studio, that came up in my budget. So I don't know what Jessel's talking about. And Chelsea is like living, you know, in any other neighborhood in Philly.
Well, I will say, I typed in Jessel's first and last name and then LinkedIn.
Oh.
And it seems like she's only been in New York. I mean, I don't know. It seems like she's worked in LA up until literally like post pandemic.
Well, so like that actually makes it
into New York City. And I don't know if maybe she could have been working from home or remote or whatever the heck, but like according to her LinkedIn, work in New York did not start till 2022.
Well, that's actually funny, because that's kind of what Aaron says. Aaron's like, what that sentence says to me is that you are brand new to New York. Yeah, you just got here. Yeah. I thought it was interesting. I'm starting to like Aaron more, in a sense of like she's snark enough to give good TV. Also, like, Jenna Lyons can do – she is so different and out there, and I love her so much.
Yeah.
Love her.
There's like not a ton to say like bad about her, or like, I don't know. She just like, I like her presence.
Yeah. It's so funny you said, I love Aaron's outfits, because my question that I had for you was, who out of the housewives is do you like style the most? Whose style do you like the most out of the Roni housewives?
I love everything Aaron wears, and she wears it so well. Like, I would love for jeans to look like that on me. Like, what is that? Yeah. What is this brand?
Who do you think I would say my favorite is?
Oh God, I don't know.
Because I was wondering who I would think your favorite was.
Who did you think?
I it was hard for me because they're so different than your style.
I know. All of them are.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't even know what my style is either. So
I would say the closest would be Jenna Lyons, but if I had to pick the closest, Psy actually has my favorite style.
I was gonna say Psy for you.
Yeah, for sure. They all just, I don't think in other franchises I would even mention their style. Like, it's not like I'm gonna be like, oh, OC, which one of these blonde hair blue eyes ladies styled
for when they were having coffee and playing. Also, Bryn going to a chess tournament, love that for her.
Yeah.
That was like, I was like, plot twist.
It's like, really, not on my bingo card. Bryn really being like a chess.
Yeah, I really like Bryn, actually.
I know, I'm starting to too.
I kind of like them all, like, not loving Jessel, but I think that maybe she's having sort of like a
midlife crisis a little bit.
Yeah. And like trying to figure her shit out and feeling a little insecure. And now she's on this show and she has this like the way. Oh, I did want to note.
Oh,
okay. She makes. Okay. Real quick. But Erin's outfit when she goes to get coffee and she has that sweater and those jeans and that those shoes. I was like, oh my God, I want this whole outfit, but it probably costs like $1,000.
But you could pull off a version of that.
I love it. Okay. Going to Jessel. She makes a comment about her husband that says, not that he annoys her, but gives her anxiety. And I think that we have all probably been there where like, I understand that like, okay, like it's not, you know, I think annoying is one thing, but to say, and you could see it in her face. Like, I don't know if you've been there, but have you ever like dated someone where you get that second hand, like you're like kind of nervous, like what are they gonna say? Like, is this gonna go weird? Like, are my friends gonna, like, what are my friends gonna think? That kind of anxiety can be so like it, like I like it eats at you and you're just,
I know
like,
who you're talking about too.
And you're, yeah, and you're so fucking
self-conscious. Self-conscious.
Yeah, and then you're like
not present,
so turned off, and you're like wondering, like you're going. I remember literally sitting in a car, like in an Uber on the way home from somewhere, and this was out here, having my head like up against the window and being like, this is not it. Like, this is not it.
Yeah.
And trying to sort of like figure out, how am I going to unravel this? Like, how do I get out of this? And I didn't have two kids and a marriage. Like,
I think if we had to do a timeline on the longevity of Jessel's marriage, I think from any viewer's perspective, it's not, I don't think I'd give it 2 to 5 years, to be honest.
Unless there's some real sort of reckoning on her behalf, because now this is twice where she, you know, she's talking to her husband to, so you're calling me a bitch, and then to Erin, so you're calling me a princess. Like, something's like, you're triggering people and you're not taking accountability. So like, let's figure out what's happening. Like, why are you so, what's going on here? Because if we don't address this problem, your marriage is done.
Yeah, for sure. Ironically enough, Jessel was my runner up in fashion. My second fashion runner up.
That orange dress that she had on at that party.
Loved that. Loved that.
Get out.
There's a lot to that's going to be seen in Roni, I think. Like, this is going to be the new, they're very, very interesting to look at.
I heard, like, so Erin was on the Not Skinny But Not Fat podcast, and she, Amanda asked her if she had, like, watched previously, and they both sort of said, they actually went to the same high school, Beacon High School in New York.
Interesting.
Like, only, like, a year or two apart, too. Erin's, like, not that much older than me. She's, like, 35.
She's younger than me? Oh, my God. Yeah. I did not think that. This is what pisses me off. All these people that are younger than me living in these mansion apartments in New York. That's what I said to my husband last night.
Intergenerational wealth.
True.
Let's keep that in mind. Like, for pretty much almost all of them. And we're not influencers. It's like, either you got your parents' money or you're influencing, and we're not doing anything.
True. Well, then fine. I'm doing fine on my own.
So wait, real quick. I lost my thought. Oh, she said that she did watch, but it got like dark. And I do like that she said that, because I, and like, they both were kind of commenting on that. And I would say that for kind of a few of the Housewives, like, franchises, like Salt Lake City, definitely Beverly Hills, like, they were all just going, getting so nasty that I am hoping that, like, this season of New York, like, you know, we're keeping the drama, but, like, not disgusting vitriol hate. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think we're seeing it in other seasons, but, like, or in other other franchises. Like, I'm feeling it in the OC, and it's kind of a turnoff. Like, what Tamara's doing to the new girl, I don't love it.
I don't love it. And I like Jen.
Yeah, I do too. It's like, talk about people that betray people that came on the show. Yeah. I'm hoping, like, bringing this new cast and more petty. Like, I like the petty stuff more than this, like, coming for people stuff.
Yeah, it's just
weird. I don't know. Just to be considerate of time.
Yeah.
Should we do a quick below deck? And then I have a few this or that Philly edition.
How much time do we have?
I mean, we can go over. I usually like to keep our podcast under an hour or like at an hour. And we're at about 58 minutes now. So we have about 5 to 7 minutes.
Okay.
I just want to keep people interested. And I think this stuff will.
Yeah, totally. Okay, real quick. There's nothing. I don't know if there's like that much to touch on below deck, except that the people that are like the way that Lara, I guess, is still defending the whole situation is kind of bizarre.
You know what I thought of when I watched this week of Below Deck? I thought Aisha's attitude is the perfect attitude for service industry. Yeah. She is like, I would love to be an eighth of that bubbly towards people. And she seems so genuine with the new girl that joins, how she gives her such a big hug and is so welcoming. I just noted how cool that was and how, she just, I also find it so weird that every day she puts in Captain Jason's eye contacts.
So strange.
Like, I feel a little weird about their relationship. I know it's like, you've never seen any captain be that walls down with his staff.
Yeah.
You know, there's always been kind of that like, I'm the boss, you're not. And with Aisha, it's, I don't know. I think it's kind of cute. Like,
yeah,
but I'm also like, yeah.
I guess we could just, the new girl hooking up with, I was not expecting Culver to be, I thought she was for sure. And I felt like they were setting us up to think it. Did you think by the video footage, they were setting Adam up? Like they were sort of setting the scene for him and her and Adam.
And I also think that's in my head, that's a better match.
Because Adam's cute.
So cute. And he has a Brooklyn accent. Like,
yeah,
he's totally our type.
Yeah, like Brooklyn accent for sure. Like I know I've said on here before, I don't like accents, but like a good thick East Coast accent, let's go over. I don't need the British accent. I don't need the Australian accent. Give me a Brooklyn accent.
Oh my God.
Fuck me up.
Australia, so Ireland, yeah. England. I love an accent. I mean, my husband has one and it's not even like, it's not even a good one.
Maybe, you can probably say the same about you.
Yeah, true. We were around Philly people this weekend and he is saying things, English words with a Philly accent. And it's just my fault. And I feel so, he said food, cute. I'm like, oh my God, stop.
I was always trying to do a Philly accent and it just is falling. So our friend, there's a friend that we have in Philly and his Northeast Philly accent is so good that it cracks me up every time. I'm like, and the way that he does it, it just is so good.
And not to mention your brother's Philly accent is hardcore.
Yeah.
Do we think? Wait, you have. Do we think Captain Jason is hot? I think
you had asked me.
Oh,
before,
you do think Captain?
And I was watching last night, and I just was like, I do. I don't think my answer before was like an affirmative yes. Last night, I decided, yeah, I do. I do think he's hot. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Joelle being back.
Yeah, I don't think that they're giving him like a fair shot because we know what has happened in the past.
Oh my God.
They don't.
Yeah, but
he's going to put this team together. They didn't even have a schedule on a boat, which is so dangerous.
Fair, but let's not say that Joelle sucks.
Totally.
Yeah.
But they don't know that. We know that.
Right. But, and them saying like he's not doing anything, meanwhile, he's outside like, climbing in between the boats. It was like, okay, this is great editing. Bravo. Yeah. Good job on this. That was funny.
That is what we will see. We will see that playback. He's just at reunion.
Oh yeah. He's so hardcore that you're like, I'm trying to be on your page, but you're the boss that everyone can stand. Like you're going to micromanage everyone. You're going to make everyone do work. There's no breaks. There's no fucking around. Like you have to work the whole entire time. Like Joelle, go have a drink, sir.
What I would have done is say, let's have a meet. I would have called a meeting. I would have said, hey, I understand that you guys have been here before. Tell me what was working. Tell me what wasn't. From that, we are going to have more structure. It seems like there was a little bit of lack of structure. That's actually not safe for the boat. I don't want to seem like I'm micromanaging you guys or power tripping, but let's get this in order first. and then we get to kind of fuck around.
But yeah, but Joao is power tripping and is micromanaging. So it's like, yeah, for you to say that because you're self-aware. He doesn't seem very self-aware. Yeah, yeah.
That's what I think he should have done.
Yeah. It sounds like a great approach. And speaking of Amy celebrity sightings, my very first year in New York, I was working and I went out onto the street in the middle of Midtown and there was Joao and Captain Sandy hugging.
What?
They were like, must have just been out to lunch or something. They hugged. They said their goodbyes. And I was just standing like right in front of them on a corner staring like, oh my God, it's Joao and Captain Sandy. Never know who you're going to see.
Before we get into games, remember last week we were talking about what we're watching in documentaries?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Okay. So on Armchair Expert, Dax has mentioned it maybe like a good dozen times. And I'm always like, oh, remember that. Oh, remember that.
Oh.
So Jim Empire on Netflix. Oh, my God. He's so right. It's
who,
so good.
Who doesn't someone narrate that? Does Jane Goodall narrate that? No.
No, she doesn't. But that sounds appropriate. Like it sounds like something she would. I forget who narrates it. Okay. But it is really wild. Like
how many episodes am I committing to? Oh really?
Yeah, it's just I don't know. I just really can't recommend it enough. Like I was watching it before bed last night and then I was like staying up too late and I was like, okay, I gotta turn this off. But
I'm going to add just, it.
All of that stuff is so interesting to me. Like anything like evolution, primates, like
aliens.
It just is like, I'm like, how did we get here? You know, it just, I don't know.
What was it? Alien ancestor.
Oh my God. Actually, I got a notification yesterday. New season available on Netflix. Ancient Aliens.
Ancient Aliens. Right. I know you were watching very informative TV. I started watching because Love Island's over. So I started watching Temptation Island. Oh. And let me tell you, what a show to waste your time on.
Oh my God.
I don't think I'd recommend it, but there it is. Okay. It's going to be in the background for the next few weeks until the season finale happens. Anywho. Okay. We are over time, but you know, hopefully people stay here for an hour and 6 minutes. So I did a Philly version of This or That.
Okay. I'm excited.
I know.
Okay.
I hope it's good. I hope it stays. Yeah.
I'm really excited.
Okay. This or That Philly version, pork roll or scrapple?
Pork roll.
Same. Hoagie or cheesesteak?
Hoagie.
Cheesesteak. I'm not, I knew you would say hoagie. Water ice or soft pretzel?
Soft pretzel, hella mustard.
Soft pretzel all day long.
On the street in the boulevard. On the boulevard.
Okay, but if you're gonna get a soft pretzel from a guy on the boulevard, you can't ask him for hella mustard.
Well, I will go home and get my own mustard.
Okay, I mean you could ask him for mustard, but you can't say hella because he's not gonna know what you're saying.
Got it. Okay.
Moves to freaking California and says, hella.
I didn't even notice I said it.
You didn't even know that's like, what I'm being funny I was for. Like,
he might not have mustard. You're right.
You could ask him for all the okay. Yeah. Okay. This is a real Philly Sophie's choice.
Okay.
Rocky or Nick Foles. And for anyone who doesn't know who Nick Foles is, Nick Foles is the quarterback who brought the Philadelphia Eagles, the championship Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Nick also Foles. Known as Big Dick Nick.
Yes, Nick Foles.
Of course. Yeah. Eagles or Phillies? I know your answer.
Eagles.
Eagles.
I grew up on them, though. Like, I mean, we had season – let me – disclaimer. I'm not, like, from a wealthy family. We just didn't take family vacations. We just – we had season tickets to the Eagles and the Phillies. And the Phillies were always – like, the Phillies were, like, where you go and get your, like, pretty fucked up in the parking lot. Eagles, I felt like I had to be a little bit more, like I was more invested to not
really
be
really
I love those Eagles games, and I could go with my dad to like good or like better games, but I only got like one with me for my friends, like one a season, and it was fucking always the goddamn Redskins, I'll tell you what. And I know. My mom never got to go, though. Like, I feel so bad. Like, she's like, I'm not getting a vacation, and I don't get to go to these fucking games. This isn't work for
raw
me.
Raw end of the deal.
Oh my God, the worst end. Probably had to drive us too a lot of the time.
Okay, I have a few more. I don't think I'm ending on the highest note, but if you think of one while we're doing this. Tina Fey or Kevin Hart?
That's a little tricky. I guess, I don't know. Tina Fey, I guess.
Okay. Pink or Will Smith?
Pink.
Okay. Okay, this is the last one. The Roots or Hall & Oates?
The Roots. No, I don't know. Hall & Oates are really fun.
I know, and they went to Temple. Did you know that?
I didn't. Oh my God, last night I was watching something.
But I think Questlove went to Temple too.
Well, and I know Diplo did, but I was watching Only Murders in the Building last night, and I was like, who is this really hot guy? And so I Google him, Jesse Williams, and Temple went to Temple. I was like, love us.
Temple made. Not the only actress. I'm not the only actress to come out of Temple, let me tell you.
I don't have anything to think of, but I like the Philly this or that game.
Yeah. I wish there was more. I was trying to think of some good ones. I also, do you know how Girl Dinner has been the big thing all over social media these days?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So it's basically on TikTok. They're saying like how girls don't eat full meals. Like if I don't have to cook or whatever, like what's my dinner going to look like? What's your girl dinner going to look like? And it's like basically just like throwing a bunch of stuff that like if there was anyone else around you, they'd be like, what the hell are you eating? But you're looking at it like, oh yeah, I don't need to cook for anyone. I don't need to cook for myself. I just need to eat a meal tonight. And this is what it looks like. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on your go-to girl dinner?
Mine would probably be, if I'm really like not cooking anything, chips and hummus.
Oh my God. I can like picture your hummus scooping claw.
I love hummus so much. Does it have, most of it is perfect. Yeah. Is that the right answer?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Or like what else, like super weird things you put together? Like if I have my own girl dinner, I'm either eating like peanut butter and jelly on toast, or I'm eating like I'll make myself a homemade charcuterie board, which is just like of trash, like hummus, a carrot, a pickle, whatever random chip we have in, some salami slices, like the most ridiculous.
I was just gonna say, what I do a lot, we are like don't have any food really in the house, but we always have pickles and like I'll wrap a pickle in provolone cheese.
Oh, yes.
And put mustard and a little pepper. Just eat that almost like a, like it looks like a hot dog almost, but it's so good. Especially if the pickle is just right, like a nice spicy pickle.
I used to trade, this girl in high school would have pickle and American cheese sandwiches with mustard on Stroman white bread. And she introduced me to the cheese and pickle sandwich, and I would trade her. Like I would go up and get like French fries or whatever, and me and her would trade. I'd be like, can I please have your American cheese pickle sandwich?
I wonder where she is now.
Oh, also I just want to shout out my friend from high school who lives in Kansas City. Shout out Dottie. She reached out to me and was like, I'm listening in Kansas City. I love it. You guys are killing it. Blah, blah, blah. I haven't heard from her in a few years. So it was really cool just to hear people that actually – people are listening. So thank you for that. Thank you for listening to us. This has been – this is a great episode, I feel. I feel very strongly about it. I'm going to Beyonce on Monday night. I will recap the full Beyonce tour for you all next week. I know, Jenna, you're dying to hear about it. But tune in next week as we will have more of part two of Rachel's interview, more coverage of our favorite Bravo shows and Beyonce. Thank you all for listening. Have a great week.